Hi, this is Sam Lagana with the Los Angeles Rams. Whose house? You're listening to the Los Angeles Rams UK podcast. Undenied worldwide. The Los Angeles Rams. It doesn't get any better than this. Let's go Rams.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of the LA Rams UK podcast, episode 102. Here we go again. I'm John and joining me as always is Andy. Andy, how's it going, mate?
I'm all right, mate. Not too bad. Just getting a bit of cold or a man flu. So if I sound a bit nasally or cough my lungs up tonight, I apologise in advance to everyone.
Look, it's the time of year, innit, mate, innit?
Aye.
Yeah, but we're here, folks. We obviously missed out last week. Normally what we would do is we'd go over obviously both games, but let's be honest, we don't really want to go over both games in too much detail. So the last 2 weeks, I've seen the Rams welcome the Steelers at home and welcome them to a victory that should never have been a victory in the first place. Andy, just very quickly, mate, your thoughts on the Steelers game?
Yeah, it was just one of them games that we just didn't seem to get anything going. Obviously, our kicker was completely not a pants, and luckily that was his final game with us. You know, I knew it'd be a difficult game against their defense because they are a good defense, but it just, you know, I thought our defense would do enough to win the game. And, you know, again, we made Kenny Pickett look like a competent quarterback and they were able to run the ball a little bit. And we just, I don't know, just everything just felt like it was off pace the whole game and we were just struggling throughout it.
Yep, it's just that recurring theme of the Rams that can make the worst quarterbacks in the league look like they're like fucking Tom Brady, Dan Marino or whatever. Like, it's just our luck, isn't it?
But yeah, you know,
it can go out and look, you know, absolutely phenomenal against us.
Yeah, you know, it was too many dropped passes, off passes, interceptions, just everything just didn't seem to, you know, when you're throwing a pick to, you know, TJ Watt, who's, you know, not renowned for his coverage skills, you know, you kind of know it's one of them flipping games.
Yeah, and I think, like, performance aside, it was literally the kicking game that cost us the victory. I know it wasn't a great performance for us, but, and obviously since, you know, Mayer was cut a couple of days later, which, to be honest, like, during the game, people were already calling for it, like, can you cut a kicker mid-game? But, like, it was, I think, was something like 10 points. There was an extra point, plus I think it was two or three field goals, you know, that would have won us the game. Like, him making them wouldn't have altered the course of the game. It literally cost us. And so, I mean, I know we didn't have the money or the cap space for it, but it just shows you that the Rams maybe should have just made, you know, having an air move to have kept Matt Gay last year.
Change the franchise tag them.
No, that's it. Like, they should have, but instead, you know, just along with some other guys that we lost last year, just quite happy to let them go and go for, like, I mean, granted, Matt Gay got paid, I guess, but, like, the other guys obviously, like, got, like, minimum deals and whatnot, and it's just, like, it comes back to, like, you know, the age-old question is, do the back office actually know what they're doing? And we'll come into that a bit further when we talk trade deadline. So, moving on, we then took on the Cowboys in Dallas, which isn't the easiest place to go to at the best of times. Even if you're performing well, it's not exactly a nice place to visit. And, well, for lack of a better word, we got absolutely pummeled, didn't we, Andy?
Yeah, you know, I must admit, I had this one down as a loss even before we went into the game because, you know, the Cowboys are one of the top teams in the NFC, you know, and are kind of pushing for a Super Bowl chance. But it, again, stupid, costly mistakes, dropped passes. It just was, again, we were out of it, you know, within the first quarter, basically, and we were never going to win the game after that.
Yeah.
You know, it was just ridiculous. You know, we couldn't get anything going. You know, Nakua was held for 43 yards. Cook was held for 21 yards. You know, our best performer receiving-wise was Henderson with 54 yards. It's not a sort of how you're going to win a game, especially against somebody like the Cowboys. And,
no,
you know, their defense showed up and ripped us to shreds. And I think they just basically took pity on us in the end and kind of slacked off after half, which allowed us to make this game, you know, look a little bit more, I'm going to say reasonable, but allowed us to put the 20, you know, points up, because otherwise, if they'd have kept the foot on the gas, mate, the game, from what I've seen, sounded like it was, you know, it had the potential to go like, you know, the Dolphins Broncos game the other week. They could have absolutely steamrolled us.
They could have, yeah, if they didn't take the foot off the gas. That was definitely the way it was going to be heading. And like, I like you said, Andy, I had it done as a loss as well, and it doesn't really kind of like, I know I was expecting to get beaten, but like, when we're predicting that, oh, we don't think we'll win, we're hopeful that we'll at least compete in the game for as long as possible, but we were never going to compete with the Cowboys. Like I said, going to their stadium, you know, isn't it the easiest places to go to and get anything, but you know, we couldn't even, like you said, we couldn't just get anything going. We couldn't perform. So it was one of those ones like, yeah, whilst we're predicting a loss. So it's like, you can't really say, oh, but you expected to lose. But yeah, we expected to at least try and give a go of it. And like, out of that game, like, we've got people saying, why are we not cutting Kendrick? You know, it's another game when he's getting absolute torched out there. The guy's just a waste of space. Whereas, like, you've got Darius Williams, you know, in Jacksonville, who's rated, I think he's, I've seen today, he's rated like one of the highest cornerbacks this season. And you've got Kendrick out there now. God knows how long he's going to be out there for, you know, where like he's gun toting and it's going on off the field.
Even, you know, with everything that's going on off the field, you know, it's clearly probably also affecting his performance. And, you know, the team just needs to turn around and say, look, until this is solved and until your head's straight, you're benched until such time, you know.
Yeah.
There's players out in the team who are better than him. Duke Shelley, as I've mentioned before, there's a few others, you know, that really should be starting over the guy and, you know, been given those chances. You know, we signed, what's his face, Hodgkinson, for, you know, in the draft. You know, we drafted the guy. We're not even giving him a shot. You can't tell me that guy can't do any better than what Kendrick's doing.
I mean, and like the Dallas game where they're running away the game, it was the time to throw guys like that out. Because you know what? Yeah. Let's see what you can do. Like, I'm not expecting you to do wonders, but let's get a good look at you against like some, you know, decent players, you know, at the very least. But it's back to the age old Sean McVay, like, he won't play rookies. You know, I mean, I've seen people comment online saying that he shouldn't have been allowed to coach on Sunday because he was coming out saying about how tired he was because he obviously is like his son is now here. Like, I think it's about older people saying, like, because you've got a kid, you can't coach. I've got four, you know, I'm knackered all the time. That doesn't mean I can't go and do my job.
Yeah, he's got enough time to do his job, he can get enough sleep, you know.
So people like saying stuff like that, it's really unfair, like, in McVay, and like, but I'm quick to criticize him for his game plan, but like, you know, to actually blame him having a child on the game plan for that's you know, it's blowing the belt and it's out of order. So that's us, like, I think we all kind of thought that we'd win the Steelers game, get beaten Dallas, and then we'd be going to Lambeau. And the way kind of the Packers are looking, you know, maybe upset something there, but that's not the case now. And in the last week, we've obviously had the trade deadline has now passed on Halloween. And would you say it's a surprise, Andy, that we didn't do anything?
No, I think because of where we are now in the season, I think they've just looked and gone season, especially with the current, you know, Stafford go, no go issue. It might be a case of the teams just go, it's not point, we're not going to compete. Let's just keep our draft picks for, you know, potentially, you know, drafting somebody come the end of the year. You know, I think if we'd have won maybe the Steelers game, you know, we had a winning record. Yeah. The games we really should have won, I could possibly have seen us, you know. You're telling me, you know, Raheem Morris wouldn't have been screaming for Montez Sweat, Chase Young, you know, with the second, third round picks. That's probably gone, you know. I think you might have been like, go get the guys, you know, but we didn't, obviously. We were fairly quiet. And I think more importantly, we didn't lose anybody, because obviously before the trade dead, you know, especially after what happened at the Cowboys, you know, you had all the people saying, you know, the way Aaron Donald was hugging, you know, Dak Prescott, and then people were saying, he was saying to Micah Parsons, come get, you know, this come get me stuff that has come out on, you know, social media. You know, people were saying that he was about to leave for the Cowboys. So,
yeah,
you know, it's kind of,
there was a lot of trade, you know, just trade them, take them where we can get them. But people, like anyone with a bit of common sense, and that's not saying don't trade them, anyone with common sense, saying if we do trade them, we'll end up with like shit, for lack of a better word, capital in return. You know, we'll end up with someone that we can't start or play, plus draft picks that won't really, you know, replace them with anyone not even half as decent as Aaron Donald is.
Yeah, you know, so the fact that, you know, we've not made any, no, nobody's come in, but nobody's gone out is kind of, you know,
I mean, for me, that's a good thing, because, and I'm quite glad that we did nothing. I know there was, you know, with like Stafford, you know, getting hurt, and he's only, I think it's a sprain in his form, he's not broken. That there was an old quarterback, we'll come out in a second, because we did get a question in. In fact, there's two questions in. And in relation to the quarterback situation, but the, you know, like people were expecting us to like trade to draft a no draft sorry trade to get a quarterback in, and we obviously didn't. You know, we signed Dresser Wynn, who was on the roster like for training camp in preseason, or was it number no, hold on, was it, he was in preseason, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. He got caught at the end of preseason.
So we've obviously brought him in as backup because we don't have a backup. You know, because our backup quarterback, Brett Rippien, is going to be probably a starting quarterback. And, you know, our third quarterback, Stetson Bennett, is, you know, he's disappeared off the face of the earth, you know, fighting whatever it is, you know. Well, I think we all know what it is, but fighting whatever it is that he's fighting. So, like, we've essentially got nothing there. So, but yeah, we didn't get a quarterback. For me, I'm glad we didn't do that, because we've talked about this a few times. Next year, you know, we are flush with cap space. Full complement of draft picks, first round pick, back again, cap space. There is no point in us chasing this season, folks. There isn't. I want to see us win games, absolutely. I'd love to see us win games, but I don't want to see us trading away for a pittance just to try and compete to get into the playoffs. I'd rather we just do the best we can the rest of the season and hold on to all those draft picks and all that cap space for next year, because we can actually, you know, attack in free agency for the first time properly in a good few years. Do you agree, Andy?
Yeah, I agree. You know, this, I think we all knew, you know, coming into the season, this was a rebuild slash learning season for everybody. We've got a lot, you know, a lot of youngsters in the team. Let's, you know, I think this was a, right, let's see who's long term, who's not, and then we'll build from there. You know, we'll know our pieces hopefully come the end of the season, who's likely to be a long term starters, who's, you know, roster depth, special teams at best, and then we can sort of look and go, right, we need X, Y, and Z to improve the team, and then they can go out with the capital and actually either sign these players or draft, you know, young players to come into the team at the end of the year. And I think that, to me, feels like that is what the Rams' plan is going forward.
Yeah, yeah. As I kind of described it as at the start of the year, when we're previewing the season, think of this year as the 2024 preseason. Use this, like you said, to kind of suss out where guys actually are in terms of the depth chart, and to be able to do it at, in like proper games rather than, you know, like warm up games. That where the other team aren't even playing their full, you know, their starters, their sales or whatever. So it's a good chance for us to properly assess guys to determine, you know, where they are in terms of the depth chart and the roster, but also if they're first and foremost good enough to even be there. Because this year we had to just get guys in, because, you know, like, was it going into the draft, we had 43 on the roster, you know, going into the draft. You know, so we didn't even have, you know, the 53-man roster to then add draft picks to pick up some undrafted free agents and then cut it down. You know, we had to just sign just to make the numbers up, which is, you know, quite bad because it's totally gutted out the roster, not in a very good way. But kind of dialing it back there, as I said, a couple of questions came in. One from Anthony Saunders, one from Nick Webb on Facebook, both the kind of same theme. Anthony Saunders asked us, do you think Stafford has passed his sell-by date? Interceptions, underthrows, missed open receivers, it's now every week. Andy?
I think he's on the decline, yeah. I do feel he's now on the decline. You know, he's an older quarterback. He's carried a lot of injuries. And you are seeing this throwing, I think, what, the last 2 weeks, it's one touchdown to one interception. You know, if that's what we're going to get week in, week out, you're not going to win games with that sort of performance. You know, and it's not as if we've got a, you know, a dynamic run game like, you know, the Titans or whoever, you know, who have run first team. We don't have that capability. You know, we don't have those sort of superstar running backs where you can say, you know, right, we'll run it. And then the passing game is just a secondary option, especially with McVay. It's always the first option and the running game is your second option at the moment. Yeah, I do feel, you know, the guy, like I said, he's on the decline. There's no two ways about it. But I think this talk of, you know, he's washed, he's finished, I don't think it's to that extreme. Yet,
he's still got it there. We saw it at the start of the season. That he's still capable of everything that Matthew Stafford can do. But like you said, he's definitely on a decline. He's at the age and stage of his career that he is going to decline. Not everyone's like a Tom Brady that can go to his, like, you know, a pensioner. When we accepted this when we traded for him, that we're maybe only going to get a few years out of him at best.
And that this is where you question the front office of, well, why have we signed him to such a long extension when he's clearly, chances are he isn't going to be able to play that for that long, or if he is, he's going to be in such a decline that it was never worth paying him the cash, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, if you'd have maybe said, oh, we'll give you the 3-year deal and you know, then we'll see from there, that would have been fine. But the fact, you know, what was it, 5-6 year deal for the guy?
Yeah.
You know, and he's not like, as you said, Brady or Aaron Rodgers or quarterbacks like that who've gone on later in their careers. Those guys weren't taking lots of hits, weren't taking injuries.
Yep.
Stafford has been prone throughout his whole career of taking hits, knocks, constantly having injuries.
Yep.
It's catching up, and I think we are starting to see it is catching up with him. But, you know, I think personally myself, I think for me, the plan should be now to this year in the upcoming draft, get his replacement in. I'm not saying, you know, it doesn't have to be a top 5 pick, you know, a Drake May, Caleb Williams. You could look more further down, you know, a Bo Nix, JJ McCarthy, sort of those quarterbacks that are sort of, you know, may sneak into the end of the first round because teams want their 5-year contracts, you know, the 5th-year option on them as first rounders. And then they can sort of, much like, you know, the plan was for, you know, with Mahomes, he sat behind Alex Smith for a year. Like the plan was going to be for Lamar Jackson was sitting behind for a year. Much like the plan was, I think, for Will Levis this year was to sit in behind Tannehill for a year. And then basically to come in the year after and, you know, all guns blaze and he's ready to go. I think that could be an option for us. Get a guy in who has the talent, but just needs that year of sort of coaching to get him the NFL experience, training, so that then the following year we can sort of release the guy in, you know, put him into the team. And maybe then, unfortunately, you know, either Stafford give Stafford a retire or you're getting cut sort of thing, or trade, you know, option, and then, you know, get rid of him, and then we've got our quarterback of the future. You know, and for me, that is the way to do it.
Yeah, and I mean, the guy you mentioned there, Will Levis, was someone we were heavily linked with in the draft, and he also went to Tennessee 33rd, I believe it was. You know, so he was just 3 ahead of us. He was someone that we actually looked at. And, he, you know, he made his you know, his first start, his first game he's played this year, you know, 19-29, 238 yards, 4 touchdowns, so a rating of 130.5. Not bad.
I watched somebody on YouTube do a film breakdown of his, you know, his performance from like the old 22, and you know, the guy played bloody well. You know, some of his deep shots to Hopkins, you know, everyone was Hopkins is fried, he's finished, he's dead. He's not gonna, you know, and he was corking him nicely for the guy. And you know, that's the sort of player maybe we need to get in. You know, somebody who's, you know, like I say, not ready, maybe needs half a year or a year of just that training, that, you know, just to get him comfortable with the speed of the game and everything else, so that, like I say, we can release him then, you know, in 2025 and be like, right, you're QB1. If you show the, you know, show it to us, off you go. Yeah. You know, and I hope some people are going to go, oh, it's a first round, you know, you want your first rounders to start straight away. But when it comes to those sort of quarterbacks, we can, you know, even at the moment, I think we're looking at a top 10 pick. You know, we could potentially maybe trade down 4 or 5 spots, pick up an extra draft pick, maybe a second or a third rounder, and still maybe pick up one of these quarterbacks, you know, in the late teens, early 20s of the draft, and, you know, develop the guy so that he can replace Stafford, and, you know, Stafford can mentor him for a year or so, or maybe even 2 years, you know, a year or two, until such time as, you know, either Stafford bins it or we bin him.
Yeah, just like... The reason I kind of swung back there about Levis is, so I saw a video there, right? Peyton Manning is the exception to this, right? That most of, if not all, the good to extremely good quarterbacks that have been in the league the last 20 years aren't top 5 picks. The likes of your Mahomes, the likes of your Rodgers, the likes of your Brady's, obviously. Lamar Jackson as well, guys that they didn't go first, second, third, you know, and that this, I'm seeing this in relation to a question we got from Nick Webb. Do we go all out for a top QB in the draft next year? Now, top QB, you could be saying, do we trade up to try and get the likes of Caleb Williams? Caleb Williams didn't name the Rams as a team he wants to go to, folks. Remember that. Also remember, he's looking for a team that's going to give him part ownership. That's not going to happen in LA.
No.
Well, Caleb Williams isn't going to, if he is, right, then I'm happy to hold my hands up and say I was wrong. But right now, Caleb Williams is not going to be a Ram. We're not going to be high enough to pick him.
I'm not being funny, the way he's playing, he's not even guaranteed he's going to be one anyway, because Drake May's starting to catch the guy up now, and it's kind of,
there's people a lot running of an now. Being the best quarterback prospects since Trevor Lawrence. You know, and you go for this. Being a prospect's one thing. Johnny Manziel, you know, he was a top prospect. What happened to him? The better quarterbacks that come out of draft, and there is exceptions, right? I will admit that. CJ Stroud is looking pretty good for, you know, for a high pick. But
CJ Stroud was one of them. People were like, the Texans got him too high. He's not worth that sort of pick. You know, Will Levis is better than him. This is his guy, but, you know, Anthony Richardson's better than him. You know, there was all the Umananara. You know, Bryce Young was the one who this year was compared to, he's the best prospect since Trevor Lawrence. And I feel sorry for Bryce Young because the situation around him is not great. But up until the last couple of weeks, he struggled for the first few weeks.
Yeah.
Since they changed play caller, that he's actually started to look competent.
Yep. Like, for me, just like saying a top QB doesn't necessarily mean to me that we're going for a top pick. The likes of, like I said, like, name some of, like, your, let's say, the likes of Rodgers and that. These are guys that didn't go where people are expecting us to try and draft a quarterback going into this draft. I do expect us to go out, maybe not all out, but at least go out for a decent quarterback, because I think with having a first round pick coming up here, I think a quarterback is going to be what people are going to call out for. Now, whether or not we use that first round pick to do that's another thing. Like you said, Andy, we could potentially turn that one pick into two picks. You know, we could potentially use that as a bargaining chip for someone like, I don't know, just say for talking sake, like, I don't think it'll happen, but just say for talking sake, Marvin Harrison Jr. hadn't been picked and it's coming to us. We're not going to necessarily take him as much as it would be great to, but someone will want him, so we could go give us We want your first, we want your second, and you can have them. And do you know what I mean? Like they would, you know, they might bite your hand off. Do you know what I mean? But this is when it's going to come down to the back office actually growing a pair and actually delivering on this. I'll be surprised at whatever point we are due to draft in the first round next year, we actually draft at that position, because I would expect us to try and take one pick and try and turn it into two. Now, when I say two, I mean two in the current draft. Not, I will take your pick, but we'll get next year's pick as well. No, current draft, because we need the guys to be coming in from this draft, not a year down the line. But I do think that the fan base are definitely going to be clamouring for us to go with a quarterback with whatever pick comes first, whatever it is, they'll be expecting it. But
yeah,
same tank for Williams, like you said, Andy. There's no guarantee that, you know, Williams will be where people think he's going to be, because he's kind of, he's on a bit of a decline from being the top prospect now. And I personally don't really like his off the field attitude with the way he's been talking about, no, these are the teams I want to go with. I mean, everyone's got their preference, right? I mean, you got Josh Allen, who's the Bills quarterback, but he's a Patriots fan. You know, and there's pictures of him in Patriots jersey and, you know, whatnot. But so, like, I bet if you asked him, he'd say, no, I want to get drafted by the Patriots. But he went to the Bills. He said, well, that's where you pick me. That's where I'm going. I'm excited about it. And, you know, that's where his career's been made. You know,
yeah,
so
exactly, you know,
Williams just came out and said, no, Raiders, blah, blah, blah. Oh, he's, like, not even named the Rams. So I don't see the point going after him, because of some, like you were saying, like, all this kind of talk about all top drafts prospect, and it never materializes, like you said. Like Bryce Young, you know, saying maybe he might, like you're saying, Andy, maybe he might turn the corner, but so far, you know, he's not lived up to the height. Whereas you've got like CJ Stroud that is looking pretty decent, and people are kind of pegging him for like rookie of the year already. Yeah, Anthony Richardson, jury's out because he's injury, but
yeah, he looked good up until his injury. He looked like a decent. Did.
He looked like another Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
And imagine if we could draft that kind of quarterback.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, with the way our offensive line has been the last few years, it would be good to have a scrambling quarterback as opposed to solid in the pocket passer. It would add a totally different dynamic to, you know, our offense. Plus, McVay doesn't like to call running plays, so, you know, if the quarterback scrambles and then runs himself, then, you know, doesn't matter who you've got in the backfield next to him, I guess. But Andy, what's your kind of thoughts about quarterback situation going forward? I mean, you said that you think that we need to plan to draft Stafford's replacement. Who, if you were to kind of name some names, who would you see us going, or who would you like to go after?
Someone like JJ McCarthy from Michigan, Bo Nix, Quinn Ewers, Texas. You know, those sort of guys who are going to be, you know, later in the first round, potentially slip into second round sort of quarterbacks. You know, I think if we're going to go down the get them in, develop them, give them a year or two sitting behind, they're the sort of, you know, players I think I'd like to see us sort of pick up and sign. You know, Michael Penix is another one from Washington. You know, these players who, you know, may just need that sit down time. Great if we could draft a Drake, you know, Drake May, bring him in, you know, if we have that higher pick. But that's sort of more the player you're going to pick if it's like he's going to be a day one starter. I don't think he'd be happy, or you'd want him to sit for a year. Mm-hmm. You'd want to get him out there and going, and, you know, it's all going to depend, I suppose, on Stafford. You know, as to what he's going to do, you know, he may solve the issue for us and retire at the end of the year, you know, and then, you know, if we've got the top three pick or whatever, we can sort of start that conversation going. But at the moment, I just don't feel like the Rams are going to go all in for a top quarterback. They're going to, like I said, want somebody to pick up later on. So we've got that fifth-year option, and then sit him and let him, Stafford, be the mentor for a year or two. Much like what Green Bay have tried to do with Jordan Love.
Yep. Is them like Green Bay did it? I mean, they did it with Rodgers when they drafted Rodgers. He sat behind Favre for a good season or two, then you know, came in, and Love was drafted in the same respect to do the exact same thing.
Yeah.
That for me, that's the best way to bring in a, you know, your, what you would call your franchise quarterback, because that's really what the Rams need going forward. We need a guy that can come in, like you said, sit behind someone, sit behind Stafford, learn the ropes, be mentored by him, and then, you know, be it half a season or be it in his second year, he steps up and actually starts taking the reps as, you know, QB1.
Because I do believe after next year, we do have the out on Stafford's contract. I believe it's next
2025
year.
2025 or 2026.
Yeah. We do have that out where we can just bin the contract for a minimal cap penalty. So, you know, that potentially would tie in nicely to doing the whole sit the QB for a year and then basically cut Stafford's ass or trade him and let him wander off.
You know. Probably more likely to cut him than trade him, let's be real here.
We probably would, but, you know, if you know, this time next year we're coming to the middle of the season, teams lost a quarterback pushing for the playoffs, do you think maybe the Rams could, you know, flog him, you know, and say, well, yeah, we've got Stafford here for you, give us a 4th, 5th round pick and you can have him.
Yeah.
You know, and we'll take, because we've got the rookie quarterback, we can afford to take the cap hit for the next 8 weeks, and then next year it's a minimal cap hit and we're rolling and we've got that cap space back to, you mm-hmm. know, build around this potential young QB on a rookie deal.
Yep. Yep. Another question we got in from Tony. Obviously, this season is a rebuild. We all sort of knew before this season started, but are we still a little disappointed in a couple of the losses that could have been wins? Or does it bode well for the future with some of the rookies? Andy, do you think we're disappointed, or are we like, actually it's good because it's allowed us to see the likes of Puka Nacua, you know, Kobe Turner, Byron Young, give us a ton of quarterbacks, Young, you know, performing really well. What do you think?
It's a bit of a mix of both, to be honest. I think given how we started the year, we kind of felt, you know, positive things were going in the right direction earlier than we thought it was going to be, you know, and these rookies were looking fantastic as well. You know, some of the key rookies that we needed, you know, as you said, Byron Young, Puka Nacua being this sort of star out of nowhere sort of, you know, thing, you know, Steve Avila playing well for us, as, you know, starting off on the line straight away. Obviously, you said Kobe Turner, you know, and then, you know, the losses we've had, it's felt like, you know, especially the Steelers game, it's like, it's not the other teams beat us. It feels like we've beaten ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause like the 49ers game, we were in it for most of the game. And that's what I was going back to, was saying, it's one thing to lose a game, it's another thing to lose a game where you don't actually perform at all. And I think like the last two games in particular, like you said, the disappointment's there because the Steelers game, we beat ourselves and we should have won that game. And then we just didn't turn up at all last week.
Yeah, you know, we're just making stupid mistakes, missed field goals, dropped passes, you know. I don't think I've ever seen Kupp drop so many passes than I have since he's come back over the last few weeks. It's been ridiculous, the amount of, you know, and he's normally, you know, Mr. Solid, and he's just dropping them. He seems to have a bit of the ball seems to be a hot potato in his hands at times at the moment.
Just that you bring him up there, because just before we came on there tonight, folks, Andy asked me a question, and I said, I'm not saying anything because I think when he asked that on the podcast, what was it you asked me? Tell the folks, Andy.
I saw a few people over the last week or so basically saying that, does this team actually run better when Kupp wasn't on the field than he does when Kupp's on the field? And it's kind of, you know, do you feel that the team actually played better when he wasn't around? Or do you just think it's just a pure combination look that he's come back and we've kind of struggled?
This is where I wish there was a third person on Wednesday night, because I would just be delegating the answer to that, and I'm not answering this. It pains me to say this, but see, if you look at the stats, you know, Kupp's not really doing anything. That's his one. I think he's had one game where he's had over 100 yards. But those first, you know, 3-4 weeks. You know, the 4 weeks, like, I think if we didn't have Booker Nacua out there, it would be what you're asking that question for. It's, you know, I think seeing him come out of nowhere and just light up, you know, it's like, and then Cups came back, and Cups, you'd expected Cup to be, he's going to be the leading receiver now, and I think he was in his first game back, he was, but since, he's, you know, he's not had really many, you know, catches.
No, you know, he's dropping them. The targets he's getting off of them, he's dropping them.
But is that Cup, or because it got, I mean, it was, you know, Anthony Saunders said that about underthrows, missed open receivers. Is that Stafford? Is it a lack of synchronization between them?
I do get with some of them, they are underthrows or slightly off passes, but last year and the year before, he was catching them. Cup, you know, you look at the top wide receivers, they'll adjust the body and still make that catch. You know, he's not doing that. And even some of them, they're literally on the numbers to him and he's dropping them. You know, it's kind of like, what's going on? And it's not only that for me. For me, it's kind of, I'm a bit on the fence with it, like a bit like you are, because I don't want to say yes, but I don't want to say, you know, there is evidence. Because since he's come back, Atwell's been a forgotten man. And for the first 4 weeks, you know.
Atwell looked decent. We actually said in the podcast, right, we can see why they drafted Tutu Atwell now, finally. Yeah. You know, and I'm like whenever I try to post updates during games, like anytime Atwell does good, I'm always like posting a gif of a train going all above the Tutu train. Do you know what I mean? Like he's doing really well, and then Cup comes back, and it's like, I can't even believe I'm talking about Cooper Cup like this.
Yeah,
like I take no pleasure whatsoever in it.
But it is a question that, you know, I've seen a few people asking, and it's kind of like, you know, the evidence says yes. We've played better when he wasn't in the team than he are when we were, now that he's back, you know. And you know, the evidence now is, you know, kind of stacking up that we were a better team when he wasn't there. Whether this was because it made McVay open up his playbook more, or it made Stafford actually do his job and not just go, well, where's Cup? There's Cup, right? I'm just looking at him. He's actually now, you know, because he didn't have him there,
develop and actually, you know, read the defense and read his options, you know, and watch what these guys were actually doing rather than just, right, there's Cup, right, that's where he's going, right, I'm not going to look, I'm going to just throw it at him.
Yeah, you know, I'm not saying Cup's a bad player, but it just feels like everything worked better when he wasn't, you know, in the squad. And, you know, it's something I think we do need to monitor going forward as throughout the year as to how he can, and it sounds crazy to say it, but it does feel like maybe the guy,
you said, there's proof, and that's the unbelievable thing, and I'd never considered it. And as soon as you asked me the question before we came on air, I just paused and I was like, my gut told me to say yes. I'm like, it's Cooper Kupp I'm talking about. This is a guy who was like absolute and like annihilated defenses 2 years ago. Do you know what? We were all calling out saying that by saying he should be MVP of the league. You know, like, and then it's like the dinner line 2 years out, actually we're a better team without him. I'm sitting here totally shocked with disbelief. Yeah. Even thinking about it.
Exactly. I was to say when I sort of was like, you know, I was like, as soon as I saw the question on Twitter X, whatever it's called this week, you know, I was like, nah, you're having a laugh, mate. And then I sort of sat down and I was like, actually, you know what? The guy's right. He is kind of, we have played worse since he's come back into the squad. You know, it's kind of like, it just feels weird saying it. Well, you know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, what everyone else thinks, you know, whether there's any kickback, and you know, or whether people are actually picking up on it as well, or, you know, other people. So if you have comments on the YouTube video or Spotify, or shove it in the Discord and let us know your thoughts on whether we're wrong for even bringing it up, or if, you know, other people have had that same
Andy,
feeling.
Andy, you realize we're going to get absolute slaughtered now.
We probably are, mate, but you know what, well, let's go.
Let us dead, folks. We don't take any pleasure. Yeah, because, like, I want to say no, because we're a better team on paper. We're on a better team. We are a better team with Cooper Cup there. Whatever's going on, be it it's Cup being half a step off, be it Stafford is, you know, on the decline, you know, I'm going to just say it's a multitude of things. But the stats point to the Rams are better without Cup. You know, like you said, Dan, it could be a case of that, oh, Christ, right, we've not got Cup, we'll need to think about what we're actually going to do here. But I think the other thing is, though, what I expected to happen a lot more, and you know, the Cowboys neutralised it, was with Cup and the crew out there, one of them's either going to ball on one of them, or, you know, one of them's going to ball over the other. And I fully expected it was going to be a case of, well, if Cup's not performing, it's because they're covering him, but Nakua's the man that they're, you know, we're targeting instead, and he's the one racking up all the yards. And I think up to this week, that was maybe the case, you know, since Cup came back. That,
yeah, you know, the week before Steelers, it was all Nakua. Yeah. Stafford had a, you know, Cup, and he had 2 for 29 yards for us. Nakua had 8 for 154.
Aye.
You know, so, you know, there was that, but it's like I said, everything just, you know, felt off this week, you know, with the Cowboys game, 3 for 43 for Puka Nakua and 4 for 21 for Cup, you know, so it was very much, we couldn't get either of them going this week. We just couldn't get anything going in this, in the Cowboys game, but, you know, it's kind of, it just, like I say, after seeing the question, it just made me sort of think the guy's actually kind of right in his way that we were a better offense when he wasn't there than we are now at this current, you know. And now I'm hoping, you know, praise be, fingers crossed, touch wood and everything, that this week, Cup goes off 250 yards, 5 touchdowns, and, you know,
we're making the playoffs. We'll be back next season. We'll make the playoffs. We'll make the playoffs now. That's it.
Yeah, you know, but it just, you know, we just don't know.
No, let's make it positive. Cup, did you see that Cup being nominated by the Rams as their representative for the Salute to Service Awards?
Yeah, so yeah, certainly have.
If you haven't, folks, go on NFL.com, you know, and smash that vote button for Cooper Cup.
Yeah, definitely. Make sure you smash it. Get your friends to smash it. Partners, your dog, your cat, whatever. Get everyone an account and get them smashing it.
Get a mode on, you know.
Yeah.
Anyways, anything anywhere else in the league from the last week or so, Andy, you want to talk about? Let's not talk about the snooze fest. It was the Battle of New York. You know, the punt fest.
Yeah. One thing I will say, obviously limited sample size. Looks like we've got a kicker. Can I make some field goals? Yeah, which is a bonus for us. I suppose that's my biggest takeaway from the Cowboys game is, well, kicker can make 2 field goals. So, you know, you kind of feel a little bit confident.
Extend already.
Obviously, you know, round the league and what have you. I suppose the big one is obviously Kirk Cousins out for the year with that Achilles injury.
So people are saying that they reckon that's him done now and expecting to retire.
I don't think it's retire. He's
no.
Obviously his contract's up at the end of this year with the Vikings. That's it. He's a free agent at the end of the season. So it's, what are they going to bring him back, or are they going to go a different direction?
We'll go after him.
Well, you know, who knows, but you know, I think you've had Justin Jefferson, I think, I believe today, came out and said he hopes that he re-signs.
He will. Like, I don't see him leaving the Vikings, to be honest. He's got it made there in Minnesota. I think he's quite happy there as well.
The only thing I don't understand is the fact that the Vikings have brought in, as his replacement, Josh Dobbs. It's like, what? Really? You've got, I think, the rookie Clayton Tune. I'd rather give him a chance than, I think, Dobbs had one good game for the Cardinals and has kind of petered out and dropped off, you know. So we'll see what happens there. Moving forward for them, obviously, Let's see, the Broncos beat the Chiefs this week. Yeah, that was really quite shocking. I did not expect that at all. You know, don't know what's going on there. Obviously, we all love to see the Whiners getting beat by the Bengals. It's always nice to see.
Yeah.
Obviously, we briefly touched on it. Will Levis, you know, I'm surprised Tannehill might have not been traded at the deadline because he kind of, I don't see him getting back into that team, to be honest, when he gets back from his injury. You know, moving forward, we'll just have to, again, keep an eye on that. You know, and then obviously we've had free agency. Well, not free agency, the draft deadline, which... What was your overall feeling on the draft, you know, or not? I keep saying draft. trade deadline. It kind of felt, apart from one or two big, you know, signings, it kind of felt limp and like...
Yeah, nothing really happened other than, you know, like Chase Young going to the Whiners, you know, and I bloody said at the start of the year, like Chase Young was a guy that I could see always picking up in free agency. I know he's got his injury issues and whatnot. I now hope those injury issues, like, you know, ruin his career, you know, because of where he's went. But, you know, I think it's a similar idea to, like, when we brought like Von Miller in, that it's like stuck in, like, for the rest of the year, and then they'll probably let him go.
I don't see how they can afford him.
No.
They've only got next year, I believe, at the moment, they've got $1.5 million in available cap next year. To sign him, it's going to take, they're going to have to make some serious drastic cuts and changes. And I know everyone says, oh, you know, the quarterback's out of the air and, you know, $50 a week or whatever it is he's earning against the cap. But, you know, that they've got a lot of heavy. Like,
a ton of money elsewhere.
Nick Bosa, they've got Christian McCaffrey, Debo. You know, they've got the question of what they're going to do with Brandon Ayuk. You know,
these guys aren't on pocket change for
Trent Star Williams. You know, that guy's on a, you know, they've got a lot of players on a small fortune, you know, and obviously, I don't think they've still got their first round pick next year because they're still paying off the Trey Lance experience. So, you know, to me, it just felt so, who knows, maybe we may still end up getting them come free agency next year if he hits it. I just feels weird that the Commanders seem to have sold because obviously they got rid of Montez Sweat as well to the Bears, which, you know, they've basically decimated their D-line, basically, and got rid of their two best players. It just doesn't make sense. Obviously, they must be tanking for something, but it just doesn't make sense to me what they're playing at. And again, even Montez Sweat, apparently he wants to go to Atlanta and is at the moment refusing to sign an extension with Chicago because he needs to think where he's going to be for next year. Because apparently the rumour is he wants to go back to Atlanta and they were interested because he wants to be closer to his family. So that could be a interesting swap as well. And then, like I say, it just felt very, you know, all these, you know, I suppose the other one is how do the Eagles manage to, you know, Kevin Byard for a sixth round pick in Terrell Edmonds? I swear, Harry Roseman must have dirt on every GM in the league because he just keeps getting away with everything. It must be one of them. You're going to give me this guy or I'm going to release that photograph of you. There you go, yeah.
I mean, I think it's one of the ones in terms of the NFC. It's really down to the Eagles or the 49ers, isn't it?
I think given the way the 49ers have dropped off lately the last few weeks, I wouldn't rule out somebody, you know. I know the Lions had a bit of a blip, but they came back this week and, you know, dominated the Raiders. You know, I wouldn't put them out of the contest yet as a potential dark horse.
I'd say I'd agree there. They're definitely the NFC dark horse.
And then obviously, I suppose the other one we need to talk about is obviously Raiders been in Josh McDaniels on their general manager.
Yeah, they've named Aidan O'Connell as their starting quarterback now, I've seen.
Yeah, I believe so. You know, it was ironic. They announced Aidan O'Connell as the starting quarterback and then literally put a post out like an hour or two later basically saying to Jimmy Garoppolo, happy birthday, Jimmy. Hello. Yeah, happy birthday. Your birthday presents, you're getting cut for this, dude. It's like, talk about a dysfunctional organisation.
Yeah, they really are. They really are in Las Vegas there. I think I've seen that the Raiders have actually had the most head coaches and or GMs in the last 20 years.
Yeah, I also saw that obviously because coaches' contracts are fully guaranteed, they're basically, I think their owner is paying, is it $85 million for him and Jay Gruden? That's just basically gone up the, or not Jay Gruden, John Gruden. That's basically just gone down the pan because he's got to pay them it.
And we think our back office is bad.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So it's basically 80 odd million that's just down the Swanee because he's got to pay them because that was their contracts and they're guaranteed.
Jesus, man. Anyways, a couple of weeks ago, I got this wrong because I had down and wrong my notes. But the NFL's back in Europe this week. Chiefs Dolphins in Germany, which should be a decent game. Also, well, the Chiefs are looking to bounce back after getting beat off for the Broncos, who the Dolphins absolutely annihilated, as we all remember. Should be an interesting game to watch, Andy.
Yeah, that's going to be the game of the week, I think, pretty much for everyone because of, you know, two teams, you know. Can the Dolphins sort of, you know, as much as the Dolphins are playing well, they've not beaten a top team yet, so to speak. And this is the question over the Dolphins is, well, yeah, when it comes to big time games, you keep losing. So this could be an interesting, you know, can they finally do it? And, you know, the Chiefs might be in a bit of a hole at the moment, heads down because of what happened against the Broncos.
Yep. I'll tell you what, one big game of the week. Our week 9 matchup against the Packers. Quick quote, GMT folks, we are 1-4 against the Packers. Once again, we're off to Lambeau, although as I understand, I believe that we'll actually get to host them next year. I think regardless, it doesn't matter how the Packers are going to be playing. You know, we're creeping towards the winter and it's going to be absolutely freezing in Lambeau.
I don't think it's going to be as bad as you think, actually, mate. I think I did see the weather report saying it's going to be, for Lambeau, reasonably mild. So, which is a bit of a bonus.
What are you thinking going into this one, Andy?
Honestly, I just don't know anymore. I think the biggest question at the moment is, who's going to be the starting quarterback?
I think that's going to do... Well, saying that, actually, I'm not going to get to see the game on Sunday because I've got a family thing on, so... I was going to wait to see who the starting quarterback actually is before that, decide whether or not to watch the game or not, but I won't have even the pleasure of doing that. So I hope it could be another watching the little bubble notification on my phone. Keep up, up and up and up. Hopefully not. We'll see, but...
Yeah.
Andy, I'm with you. I just don't know anymore.
They've got a good front seven, which could make our offensive line, you know, give them troubles, especially, you know, Rashawn Gary, you know, I think he's probably an underrated player at this point. You know, I can't believe the Green Bay got him for as cheap as they did when they've just extended him, you know. I was really shocked. I thought he was going to be another $5-8 million more than they cost him, you know, and I do think he's up there with... You know, your Max Crosby's and everything else is one of the top edge rushers in the league.
Yeah.
You know, but one thing, if Stafford is playing, Green Bay like to play a lot of zone defense. And I have found that when we, against teams that play zone, Stafford does seem to play better than he does against teams that like predominantly man-to-man coverage. So, yeah, a little bit of positivity that if Stafford plays, he does seem to statistically play better against his own defense than a man-to-man defense.
It's just, we've got the bye week coming up after this one, and I think for me, it's just I want to just get the bye week now. And I really don't care how Sunday goes. I just want that bye week so that everyone's got a week off to regroup. And just, you know, come back. We'll have a decent run of games post bye, if I remember right. I think we've got the Cardinals after the bye.
I believe so.
Hopefully, a few games that we can put something decent.
I think the other question we need to ask is it worth playing Stafford with his thumb injury? Are we better off just saying to him, we've got the bye next week? Drop you out, you'll play ripping. We'll just worry about it, you know. Let's give you that extra week's recovery so that maybe you are ready to go when we finish the bye.
I've got two answers to this, right? I've got my answer and the answer to what will actually happen. My answer is bench him because we've got the bye week. Let him heal. Let that whatever that is that's troubling him now, let that heal up so he can come back. It's the Seahawks we've got coming off the bye then. It's the Cardinals and then the Browns. There's a couple of games there that, you know, then that Seahawks are kind of turning around again. Give them the time to recover, basically. What's actually going to happen is Matthew Stafford's going to go, no, I'm fine, I'm playing. He's going to go out and he's going to injure himself further. And then he'll go off the bye and come back out against the Seahawks, injure himself again. And that's not me trying to, you know, disrespect them, discredit them or anything. It's just the type of player that Matthew Stafford is, that he just doesn't want to give up. He doesn't want to be sitting on the sidelines. He wants to keep fighting. You know, it's a testament to his character, which is great. But time and a place for it, Matthew, and it's not the time or the place. Sit on your arse, take the bye, take the time.
If you were pushing for a playoff place, I'd probably say, yeah, all right, you know, let the guy.
And we can't afford to, yeah.
Yeah, but really, if it is one more loss really going to affect our season? Is it going to make or break our season? No, it's just going to give us at this point a potentially better draft pick than we've currently got. To be honest, that is the way I'm looking at this season now. It's, like I've said, a bit of positivity for players coming in, who's going to be sticking around, and let's sort of go for as high draft pick as we can is sort of my feeling for the rest of the season now.
Yep.
Heck, at the moment, you know what? I'd say around and say, right, win, you're a rookie, you're getting flung in, let's see what you can flip and do. Can't do any worse than ripping, to be perfectly frank. Nope. You know, for all we know, that kid might actually have some talent and, you know, if Bennett was on the squad, I'd probably say do exactly the same for Bennett. Bennett, go out there, show us what you can do. But, you know, does it really matter? I imagine we throw this guy out and, you know, he has a Will Levis type of performance for us. You know, all of a sudden you're kind of like, okay, you know, maybe we've got something for the future that we can then maybe mentor behind Stafford as well. You know, the chances of slim to non-existent that's going to happen, but, you know,
I know what you're saying.
Brady was never going to happen. You know, it was only sheer luck of an injury that allowed him. Otherwise, he'd have never got a chance.
Kurt Warner.
Yeah, never would have been given a chance. You know, exactly. You know, why not? We've got nothing to.
We've got nothing to lose
and everything to gain.
Exactly. And that brings us on to, you know, everything else to gain, which is the chase for the Sleep Deprivation Bowl Championship. How are you getting on, Andy?
To be honest, mate, I've even stopped looking now because...
Andy's tanking.
I'm tanking for the number one pick next year at this point. I think I'm tanking for the number one pick. It's just been horrendous.
You're looking at the McVay conference now, so in Andy's division, Andy's in the Aaron Donald division. Granted, Andy, yeah, you're sitting 2-6, but, you know, Stormbusters in the lead on 6-2, then the other three teams are 4-4. It's quite close there and tight. In the other, the Cooper Cup division, you've got two guys on 6-2, 2-3-5, and all 1-2-6. So, I mean, it's tight at the top there. Over where I'm, I didn't actually realise where I was in my division until I logged on and checked, and I'm not enjoying. And I'm not the worst in my conference. You know, that honour is shared between Aaron and Chris, who are both 2-6 this year, and are both like in our kind of WhatsApp chat, both actually said about how awful they're doing. I'm sitting on 4-4. You know, my conference is, I've got the leader, Nick, 1001's on 6-2. Harold Horsman's 5-3. Then I'm between myself, Lewis MUFC, and Kevin M. The three of us are 4-4, so it's quite close neck there. Another conference. OBJ is missing ACLs. runner is leading the way, 6-2. Mission Golf Wolves 4-4. T Boys 3-5. He was starting off quite well actually, and he's kind of fell away a wee bit. And then Chris and Aaron, like I said, letting the side down. 2-6. So.
Yeah, seems to be admins are 2-6 by you.
I'm doing all right. I'm not going to be singing on the podcast, So I'll be no form of fit for me.
Yeah,
I say that. I'm actually the lowest scoring team in my division by a good near 200 points. So whilst I'm sitting saying, "Oh, I'm doing all right," I'm actually the lowest scoring in my conference. Christ, I've only scored 875 points. Aaron's even scored more. He's got 930. Like, geez, well, so like, whilst I'm sitting 4-4, I'm not exactly putting numbers on the board. So yeah, I'm maybe not gloat too much here. It could all fall apart for me. But yeah, that's the latest update on the fantasy league, folks. So it's starting to hot up as we get closer and closer to playoff season in the fantasy league. So we'll see. I think there is playoffs for you, Andy. And if I fall away, there is a kind of consolation bracket there.
So, yeah,
there's still something to play for. There is a wooden spoon to play for.
Yeah, this way that'll be mine then, by the sounds of it, if I'm not careful.
But anything else you want to go over, Andy, before we wrap up?
No, I think that's about it, mate. Let's just move on to next week, get that done, and then it's bye week, and maybe we can second half of the season. Let's see what we can do.
Well, that's it. Let's just get the bye week, folks, and hopefully we can come out the other side trying to fly. Let's just put it that way. But yep, I'm John. Thanks for joining us, folks. Andy, always a pleasure, mate, to chat to you.
Always a pleasure, mate. Hopefully keep positive, and every loss now. My positive thing now is every loss we get is closer to a top draft pick. That's the way I'm looking at it.
Let's take that as a positive, folks. It's a step closer to potentially drafting the next QB1 for the LA Rams. But that was us, folks. Thanks for tuning in to episode 102 of the LA Rams UK podcast. We'll catch you again next week, folks, for episode 103, and hopefully more positive vibes than there was tonight. Thanks, folks, and we'll catch you again later. Cheers.